All right. Okay, you guys. Welcome to the Ralston Transition Meeting. We're finally almost there. I have been having so much fun getting things planned and ready, and we've got a plan in place to move over. We haven't moved everything over. But it's been so much fun, and it's like a long time coming, and I'm really excited that we're now here in the youth room together and going to share and transition you guys, give you guys a vision for what kids ministry is going to look like over here. And so, yeah, so exciting. I am so excited. So I want to open up in prayer and then... Lord, we thank you so much for this space. We thank you that we get to worship you through sermon, and we get to enjoy you, and we get to point kids to you, and we get to eat goldfish and a gummy worms. like that's just the best. And so we thank you so much for that, God. Like, you called us to go into the world and make disciples, and this is where you have called us to be on mission, and we're just so thankful, God, for your generosity, for this building, for the bigger classrooms, for this team, for the kids that you have brought, for the kids that you are going to bring. And so we just pray that as we are here meeting and learning about this next season, what it'll look like, and how we're going to move forward as a team. God, I pray that you would bless this time, that you would be glorified during this time, you would be the center of this time, and that when we leave this place, it will be so excited and encouraged for what you are doing. God, we come and we're bringing our fish and loaves, and so God, we pray that you would multiply and you would use this space for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're in this new building, and there's remodels happening right now, so eventually we're going to get to go on some tours, and there's so much planning and prepping. Like, I am so...
Check.
There we go. Maybe it was me. Anyway, okay. So this whole thing is like all this planning and this prepping, and I, don't get me wrong, I love this stuff. Yeah, does this one work?
Yay!
It does. Okay, I'm gonna grab this one.
Whoa, sorry.
Thanks, Chloe.
You're welcome.
All right, okay. Oh, so much better. So in this moving, in this build, we are planning so many things. And so me, personally, even with having you guys come, I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, so what are we going to do? How are we going to move? We need to figure out how we're going to get all the stuff from one building to the other building. We need to figure out how kids ministry is going to run. How are we going to reconfigure the classrooms? How are they going to be put together? What's the layout in the rooms? Where are the people who are going to help us move the things? Like, all these things have been running through my mind. My brain automatically goes to the what. And I imagine for you guys, a lot of you, it's something similar, but it's more like, what's Anna's plan? Are the classrooms going to be, are the classrooms changing? Are there any new things happening? Like, are we going to have an outdoor space to play? Are we, like, is it going to be safe? Like, all the things, okay? So I imagine also, like, your brain goes to the what. And then in this season, the Lord has been really convicting me and reminding me over and over. He's like, it's not about the what, it's about the why. Why are we doing this? So, just a reminder, the reason why we needed to look for a new building was because kids' ministry was bursting at the seams.
Yeah.
Yay! Like, God is moving in kids. It's because of kids' ministry. It's one of the main reasons why we even needed to look for a building. It's because of you guys and your faithfulness and what God is doing here in reality in this season, and that's such a gift. And I don't take that lightly, and so it's like we're so thankful for this building, but it's not about the building. It's about the people and Jesus transforming lives. That's really what it's about. And so to help us remember first and foremost the most important thing, the why of this, Billy Hunter will be coming to give us a little devotion on why we're doing this. So, Billy Hunter, everybody.
Thank you. So it's so important for us to remember why we minister, why we are engaged in the work that we do. It's easy for us to serve for the wrong reasons. It's easy for us to serve for good reasons, but not the right reasons. And I remember when my daughter Faith, who's now 22 years old, if you could believe that, when she was very young, and I remember like the Lord was like starting to really move in my life. And I was like, I am going to absolutely destroy this person if I don't start following Jesus with all my heart. And so I started looking for a church, and every church we would go to, it was like, it'd sign her in and they'd be like, this is awesome. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. Here's the sign-in sheet for your daughter. And here's the sign-in sheet for you to like pick up a shift in the nursery. We kind of like share the load in the nursery. And I remember being like, I'm not coming to church to like watch other people's kids as much as I love kids, right? Like, you know, like I was like not the person at that season of my life that you would invite to come and serve in kids ministry. It's like, I had no idea who I was, you know? And I remember just experiencing that and feeling that. And then many years later, we were up at a church and we were invited to, I was invited to serve in kids ministry because I was dropping three kids off and they were shorthanded, right? We were like on vacation. And I'm like, this is like, I mean, I get it. I understand the need. But you can't serve just because we need help. Serving because we need help is not the right motive, right? And so it's like giving with the wrong motive. Right? When you don't want to fall into the trap of not giving, and you don't want to fall into the trap of not serving, but worse than that is the trap of giving for the wrong reason or serving for the wrong reason. Because any other reason that we give or serve is because of us. It's like we're giving to ourselves and we're serving ourselves. Every other motive, as whether we're trying to people please or we're trying to, you know, we think too much of ourselves. And so I wanted to encourage you guys, speak an encouraging word to you that have signed up. Thank you so much for serving in kids ministry. But it's good and important for us, those of us that are committed to serving kids and really live our lives on mission with like families and students in our hearts and in our minds. It's good for us to be encouraged. And it's good for you to hear today that engaging in kids ministry is engaging in the mission of God. Like, God is for kids. God is for toddlers and newborns. He is for 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds. He's for the elementary kids. He's for those upper elementary kids. He's for junior hires. I just spent the day at Magic Mountain with 4 vanloads of junior hires. It was awesome and epic. And like, God is for them. And he's doing an incredible work in their life. We had unchurched, non-Christian kids from unchurched, non-Christian families come to Magic Mountain who are excited to come to youth this Thursday night. God is on mission right now for those little 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds, for those little 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds. God loves them. And before we endeavor to talk about the love of God with kids, we have to first remember and receive the love of God for ourselves. And if it's been a while since you've sat and thought about the love of God and thought about why you serve and how that connects to the love of God, because you serving doesn't make God any happier with you. You serving doesn't like build a better connection between you and God. God is fully happy in and of himself and in the original design for you to be with him where he is doing what he is doing. And so we serve out of an overflow of intimacy and out of an overflow of the joy of the Lord, because God loved me so much. I remember the story of the 99 lost sheep. And you remember that story? We tell that story to kids and we tell that story to teenagers. That story was told to the most religiously checked out people in Israel at the time. It was told to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And Jesus tells this story to them as an in your face, God doesn't care what you do for him. What God is concerned about is what we allow him to do for us. And God has given every one of us the opportunity to receive a new life in Christ. He's given us, every one of us, an opportunity to join him in what he is doing. And so to start off, God is for you. God is pursuing you. And if we're in kids ministry for any other reason than God has pursued me, then we're going to be trying to pursue kids rather than bringing the equation the other way around. Because God is in pursuit of our elementary kids. God is in pursuit of our junior hires. He's in pursuit of our young adults. God's in pursuit of our toddlers. He is on mission. Our mission is to be where God is, doing what he is, not to be creative and inventive and talented and using our years of experience. We come with nothing, but we're broken vessels, right? God is the one that provides the fire. And so for us to be reminded that you're not here because you're talented, you're not here because you're experienced. You're here because you are willing and you love Jesus. And so it's a good reminder for us. God is pursuing you. God is pursuing kids. And when we remember back to the very beginning, God created us in his image. He created us to be with him. And he created us to be about what he's about. We were created to participate in the life of God himself. He uses the vocabulary in the book of Genesis is crazy inclusive. And Jesus picks that vocabulary up again in the book of John, talking about us, right? Like inviting them into the life that we experience, inviting them into the joy that we experience, inviting them into the mission that we have, that the world would know that the Father sent the Son to bring salvation. Why? Because of the way they love one another. And it's that love, it's that joy that gives us the unction and the desire. And so when you go all the way back to Genesis, you see God's plan is to draw the nations to himself, right? The book of Matthew, Jesus commissions his disciples to go where? Into all the nations, right? Go everywhere, go. Don't be content with being here. And so we serve as an act of obedience for sure, right? In Acts chapter 1, Jesus gives the Holy Spirit, and he's got this crazy promise about it somehow being better that he goes away, right? Because then we would receive the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit was given for one purpose, and that was to glorify Jesus so that we would be able to be obedient to Christ and go and bring. And so throughout Scripture, all from Old Testament and New Testament, we see that God is in pursuit of his lost sheep. We were created in a garden. We were created by a creative. God is a creative. He's speaking and he's satisfied with his work. And when he creates humanity, he's very satisfied with his work. And then comes the separation point, right? And every one of us that's served with kids has seen the separation point in every kid we've served with, haven't we? Right? Like no one taught that cute little four-year-old to lie about the thing that they just stole. Right? Like no one taught my kids how to lie or be selfish, right? I mean, they could have easily picked that up from me, but I'm usually pretty good around my kids, right? But like no one had to teach us how to do that stuff. Like we're born into these patterns, we're born into this life that's going to lead to separation. And so when Christ gives us a heart that's filled with his love, it's hard to go to sleep without praying for the lost. It's hard for me to go to sleep without praying for the teenagers that I've met over the weeks and months, these last few weeks and months. The two kids that came a few weeks ago that haven't been back, right? Like I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, God, please save him, right? Like bring him back. Like I don't even know. I should have got his number, right? Like it's like God will give you an unction for the lost as you serve the little ones. Every one of our kids needs to have a living encounter with the living God. Every one of our kids needs to see and taste and see and know the goodness of God and enjoy enjoy the presence of God. Every one of our kids needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every one of our kids needs to know the forgiveness of God and the freedom that we have from slavery to sin. And God has invited you in to participate with Him. The Creator, who's creative, has invited us into His creativity. That we're to go into this dark world, this wild world, this untamed world, and we're to, just like God created a garden for us to live in, He then sends us out into the world, and we're gardeners. We're to create a place where humanity can thrive. We're to bring a garden where now chaos stands. And God is sending us out into the lives of families and young kids, teenagers, young adults, to go and invite them into a life, into a garden life with God. A life where there's no confusion, right? A life where the presence of God is all we need, where our identity is satisfied in the person of God Himself. God's first recorded words are, "Let there be light," right? And then God's next word is, let us create. You know, He creates all these things, and then He starts speaking about people, and He goes, let's create them in our image, right? To be together with us. And then he's like, the next words that God shares with humanity are words of pursuit. He's like, where are you? He's out looking for the man and the woman, right? After giving them clear direction in how we're to live, right? In this life with God, there's a good place and there's a bad place. And there's a place of obedience and there's a place of disobedience. And God loves us so much, He's given us free will and the ability to choose. And every one of us is invited into this life with God. We were created on purpose, and these kids that we minister to were created on purpose. And they were also created for a purpose. And so as we love on kids in kids ministry, the scope of kids ministry is much more than just getting a family through a Sunday morning so mom and dad can go to church. Now, I don't want to de-emphasize that, because it's extremely important that parents are able to go to church. It's extremely important that parents are able to worship, to stand before God. They're able to lay this child down. I'm here to tell you, I got 5 kids, right? It's easy to make my kid the idol in my life. And it's hard when we have to sit there and hold this thing that's simultaneously a burden and an idol and try to worship God. It's like, man, it becomes so much more powerful. It becomes so much more personal and intimate when we're able to empty our hands and come to God as a child. When we're able to unburden ourselves from the naughtiness or the craziness. When we're able to unburden ourselves from the needs that we have to make sure, are they going to forget how to breathe while I'm in church? Like, and that's where you guys come in. Where they're like stoked to leave their kids with people that love Jesus and are interested in their children. It's important for parents to be able to go to church. But it's also important for kids to hear the full gospel. It's important for kids to hear the full measure of God's love for them. It's important for kids to hear the full measure of God's love for the world. It's important for kids to hear that they weren't made to live out in the middle of nowhere behind a high wall. They were made to live where people are. They were made, otherwise, why would you shine like a light if there's nothing dark around you, right? It's like we go to dark places and our light shines. Kids need to hear the full counsel of Scripture, the full call of God upon them. And that's where I'm so thankful to be able to stand in front of you guys that serve with our kids week in and week out. Thank you for serving. Thank you for saying yes, for being willing to make a commitment. Thank you for keeping your commitment. Thank you for being on time. So many of you guys are like really on time. Thank you for communicating. I know some of you aren't, but I'm being gracious right now. I lead my own army of volunteers. I know. But like, it's important. And it's important to the kingdom of God that there are faithful men and women that serve Jesus and serve children for the right reasons. Because when our kids grow up and they start get engaging in church, or they start planting churches, or they start going to the nations, right? Like when my kids grow up, I hope that every single one of them will be in the nations for something, for some season, right? Will like really weigh that call on their life. Like where are they going to get that unction? Where are they going to get that idea? Where are they going to see that and experience that as a real opportunity for them? Where they're going to see and experience that is in the Sunday school classrooms and in the living rooms Or maybe it's at a friend's sleepover. Maybe it's at a Club 345 event where we're just getting a VBS event, a camp, winter camp event, at cabin time. Whenever it is, wherever it is, God has brought you into their lives. And I thank you for putting yourself in a place to be available, putting yourself in a place to be willing. And I hope that kids' ministry is as much a blessing for you as it is for the kids and for the kingdom. This building is incredible, right? We got this building because we had too many kids. And now we're at the point, I don't know if you guys are probably all on time, so you probably don't see it. But the people that are later to church have a hard time finding a seat, both first and second service. Like, we've completely outgrown that building. Like, we're just going to drop that and move into a building that's actually the right size for us. And we're very excited about that. We talk about it every week. But the building is just a building, right? This is just a place where we come and minister. The church is the people. You guys are the church. When we talk about Reality Ventura, where's Reality Ventura? And we say, oh, it's over on Ralston now. It's like, no, Reality Ventura is like sitting in this room. Right? Reality Ventura is wherever you're at, you know, in your job, Monday through Friday. Reality Ventura is when you're at the park with your kids, right? Reality Ventura is when I'm back on the fields at Little League and I've got a crew of boys I'm coaching for a new season. Like, Reality Ventura is, the kingdom of God is where the king's people are. And I just thank you guys for having the desire to be God's kids in kids' ministry. So thank you. I hope that you're encouraged and excited for this new season. New seasons are, you know, big changes and new seasons are always exciting. But I hope that it's something that draws you closer to God as you serve him and serve the kids. So thank you.
I'm encouraged. I'm like sitting on my seat. I was so ministered to. Oh my gosh. I'm like, let's do it. Let's go. Oh, so good. Thank you so much, Billy. We really appreciate that. Praise God. So now we're actually going to go over some practical things. As we've gotten the why, we do need to talk about the what. That is part of it. So Karina and I are both going to be sharing some things. I'm going to start with part of it, and then she'll come up for her part, and then I'm going to finish with an equipping for an area that I see has been a struggle for many of you. And so, yeah, I'm really excited for the equipping. So the first thing that we want to talk about are the classroom configurations. On the back of your sheet, you probably saw my color-coded room, like layout of the floor plan. The reason why it's color-coded is because that's literally the color coding for when we move. Like, everything labeled with pink goes into the pink room. Everything labeled, anyway, that's not important, but I did that and I worked really hard on it. But that's what I have so that you guys can see the floor plan and how the classrooms are all connected. So the first thing is nursery and toddlers. They were separate, but now they're going to be combined. They're going to have different zones in the room, but they are going to be combined. And they can cross over into the zones, but there's more the mellow zone, and then there's the crazy zone. So you'll have one check-in counter, and then the nursery will be put into the nursery area, the toddlers will be in the toddler area, and it'll be super cute. Just a heads up, we're going to go and see all these rooms. You're going to go to your room, and you'll have a leader to like give you a little tour. So we're going to say these things, you see them on the paper, we're going to actually look at them soon in a bit. 2 and 3-year-olds are still combined. 4 and 5-year-olds are also combined. But kindergarten and first grade have been separated into 2 separate classrooms. So if you've ever served or dropped a child off or just looked in that room, you're like, whoa. It's going to be really nice. On the other hand, 2nd and 3rd grade, they are going to be combined. It's sort of like a separate combined combo class. Now, this is not my favorite thing that we're doing, but because of the space that we have, we're making do with what God has provided for this season and just really trusting the Lord. 2nd and 3rd graders are amazing, and they'll be great together. 2nd graders... are still truly younger elementary, but we're going to be moving them up to upper elementary for this next season. season. It won't be that way forever, but for this next season, this is what's going to happen. What's going to happen in that room is it's one big room, but there's two couch areas that are going to exist, and then a big open space in the middle with some tables and actual open space to play. So the kids will come in, they'll all have free time together, second and third grade together, and then they're going to do, we normally in the upper elementary, we start with the group game. Now, second graders, we're going to, in this class particular, we're going to do something new where they're going to get to choose. They only get to choose one of the two things. It's either the group game or there will be an open-ended craft table. What I mean by that is watercolors are set out. Go wild, have fun, kid. You know, or hey, we're gonna have felt and paper bags and glue. Make a puppet. Like, just an open-ended, like it doesn't have to do with the curriculum, it doesn't have to do with the lesson, it's just, hey, our goal is to connect right now. Not all the kids are gonna wanna play the game, and definitely not all the kids are gonna wanna do the craft, but it's an in-between, like, it's a mid-elementary, they could go either way, so we're providing that for them to help build connection in that space, okay? And then when it's time to do their snack, their lollipops and lemons, their Bible skills, so second graders will soon be doing that, their four questions, they will go to their separate corners, to the different seating areas, and do those separate from each other. So they'll do the game and their like playtime together or craft together, and then they'll separate into the two corners. So that's something that the third grade volunteers are probably pretty used to. The second grade volunteers, this is new. That's why I'm going through the details a little bit more. If you have any more questions, when we go on the tour, your tour leader will be able to help explain and clarify some of that. Okay. Fourth and fifth grade, they are also in a separated combined combo. First service, it's actually all combined, fourth and fifth graders. There's a total of like less than 10 kids during first service, those combined. So they'll do everything together. Second service will have a fourth grade area and a fifth grade area. So we're trying to find a leader and assistant for both ages. So there'll be a total of at least four volunteers in the room for that class, as well as a second and third grade class. Okay. Also, the other thing I want to talk about is the restroom locations. So there are some really, really awesome things about this building, and one of them is that a lot of the bathrooms are actually in the classrooms. So that's really exciting. So some classrooms have bathrooms, some do not. So I'm going to go through each age group and tell you if you have a bathroom or not, and then later when you go on the tour, you will see where your bathroom is, okay? So nursery and toddler, there's no bathrooms. There is a really tiny sink in there, though, and a changing table. So that's fine because they don't use the toilet yet, so we're good. My notes are not well written. Okay, next is 2 and 3 year olds. You have a bathroom in your classroom. 4 and 5 year olds. You also have a bathroom in your classroom. Kindergarten and first grade, they're two separate classrooms. They do not have a bathroom. They will need to go into the kids' bathrooms that are going to be in this hallway that you guys will see. They're going to be designated for kids. Okay, so kindergarten and first grade are going to use that bathroom. Second and third grade has a bathroom. Fourth and fifth grade does not, but it's really close to second and third grade. So they will use that bathroom. And the leader will talk about this, but you just need to make sure that when the kids go to the bathroom, they're not disrupting the second and third graders, you know? So there'll be a way to do that. You'll see, you can like, you could stand outside and look into both classrooms and be like, oh yeah, my class is good over here, and they're disrupting my class, so I have to go over here really quick. So you'll be able to see into both rooms. It'll be great. And then when we go to large group, there is a bathroom in there. So if the kids go to the bathroom, they don't have to like leave and find their class bathroom. It's right in the other room, and it's really awesome. And you guys will also get to see the new worship room. Some construction is still happening, though, so as they say in England, mind the gap. But just don't trip on something, okay? And as always, the classroom bathrooms are, and the kids-only bathrooms are only for kids. So volunteers, you will not be using the kids' bathrooms. If you need to use a bathroom, please try to go before service, if at all possible. Of course, things happen and you need to go during. Call your coordinator, okay? And go never back because you are responsible for your class. Next is Miss Karina, who just really loves talking into a microphone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
She likes to tease me and she likes to give me a first point behavior policy. Setting me up for failure. I'm just kidding. Thank you guys so much for being here. It's so cool seeing like all of these faces in our new space. It's really exciting. In regards to our behavior policy, I just wanted to kind of give a reminder and kind of review best practice for kids ministry. So sometimes we need to get a hold of a parent, and that's after you've like dealt with it in the group setting, and then you kind of addressed it on the individual level, and that's not really working. And you know, we talk about connection over correction, and so like you've tried all the things, right? And it's like, man, I think we need to call their parent now because we're partnering with parents. So sometimes there's a step in between going through your behavior policy or discipline, as we sometimes call it, which I feel is weird. But sometimes there's a step that gets missed, and that step is calling the coordinator. So the coordinator, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's not. It could be Jen or Sita, or there's a few other people who also do an amazing job coordinating. So sometimes it's me, sometimes it's not me. But that one last step kind of gives you like a buffer, and sometimes they just need like a change of scenery, a different voice, another perspective, and it can really shift things. It doesn't mean we have all the answers and we're like so much better at something than you are. It just means we're gonna try this one last thing because our goal is to help them be a part of kids ministry. And so, I just really wanna encourage you to invite the coordinator in, like, hey, like, this is what's going on. Do you want to like come talk to them? Can you come? Sometimes I'll just like go hang out. And it's kind of like the principal just walked in the room. So it's kind of like just like fixes the problem. Like, oh, you're great now. Like, cool, I didn't do anything. So anyway, just an encouragement. Yes, we do want to partner with parents. And yes, we do sometimes need to call parents. And it is very helpful for parents to know what's going on in the classroom, so we can best support their kids when they come in on Sundays. And so that's just kind of like the misstep sometimes that we've seen is like, oh, their parent got called, but I didn't even get to touch base with them, or I didn't get to tell them like, oh, you're actually, you can hang out with them if they're having a hard time, or, you know, whatever it is. So we're here to support you guys. We're here for you. We're here for the kids. So, don't be afraid to reach out to your coordinator is the overall reminder there. And then scheduling. So, hopefully by now you've gotten all of your December requests because I have sent them out, and if you haven't, you should come and talk to me later. But we just want to say thank you so, so much. I know you get those notifications. You're probably at work or you're doing something else, and so we just really appreciate your response to those notifications. Even if you can't make it, we appreciate your response, and we just really thank you so much for doing that part, because it really takes a whole level of communicating with 120 people. Otherwise, if you didn't respond to those, and sometimes we don't, and things happen, and I reach out to you. So thank you overall. Everyone's been really, really amazing about that. And with that, I know that there's that possibility that you might need to put in blockout dates or whatnot. As you know, we're entering into a season when we are actually looking to fill more roles. As Anna mentioned, the configurations of the classrooms are going to change a little, and that does warrant us looking for some more leaders or some more assistants. And so I've reached out to some of you with those new roles, but just keeping in mind that when you do go to block out dates, it impacts kids' ministry. So we just ask that you would block out dates with, like, really considering counting the cost for blocking out that date. It's like, yes, if you have something very important on your calendar and it's way in advance, like, please block out the dates. That's what that's for. And then also, I'm going to give an example. Let's say you have two dates in December that are blocked out. That means, and they're the two dates that you serve, that means you won't serve at all in the month in December. So consider that, or, and reach out to me and say, like, oh, hey, like, I can't do the 8th, but I can do the 15th. And that way I'm like, oh, okay, I just need to try to switch people instead of finding somebody else. So that's helpful. Another thing that could work, and maybe this could work for you, maybe this could not work for you. Maybe just this one month you have a work trip and a wedding and whatever happened. Then next month, are you open to serving 3 to 4 times that month to kind of offset that, just so that we can fill the roles that we have in kids ministry? Because to be super honest, this season up until this point, we've had, like, if you're a substitute in this room, like, I texted you every week. That's because we have leader positions, at least 4 or 5, at least, probably more like 6. And then if you count large group and worship leader, probably more like 8 or 9. So if you're a sub, I've been asking you every week to serve, probably. So thank you so much, you guys, for being responsive, for doing your part, and for being willing to serve. We really, really, really appreciate it. I don't say that as, like, a correction. I say that because it's like, I want you guys to have a realistic picture of what's happening in kids ministry. This is what's happening in kids ministry, and it's a great problem to have, and we're super excited. So thank you. Okay, last piece, which kind of connects to this, what I just talked about a little bit. And then just know, if you're a sub, like, and if, well, this is for all of you guys. Our goal and our heart is that you would serve on alternating weeks, right? And so if you're a sub and I've been asking you to serve every week, like, I'm so sorry and thank you, but our heart is to contact you every other week. Like, that's the goal. The goal with this next recruitment is to have a sub list, to fill the, that the Lord would bring the people to fill the roles that are open, and that if you are a sub, we would contact you every other week. That's the ideal situation. Just in case you're wondering, like, I just thought that was how it was. You just always text me every week. Like, that's not our ideal situation. So, yeah, I'm rambling now. The last piece is the recommitment piece. So, by now you have gotten a link to recommit for next semester, which starts February 2nd to May 25th. And, yeah, we just need those responses so we can start knowing what other roles will be open for future people who want to serve in kids ministry. So if you guys could, today is actually was our like goal for having responses. So what we're going to do after the very last portion of our time together, I will be in the supply room. So if you're ready to give your response and using the link as a hassle or whatever, you're already here, just come into the supply room and let me know and I can mark your response. Otherwise, I'll be happy to reach out and text you. You'll hear from me?
Yeah, it'll be after your tour, then you'll find creative supply rooms. So you know where the supply room is when you go on your tour. You don't know where it is right yet.
Yeah.
You will know.
Yeah, so I'll be hanging out in there. Don't be afraid. I genuinely do not take it personally. If you are unable to commit, I still love you guys.
Yeah, that was so good. She wasn't even
And this is really more geared towards the 4-year-olds through 5th graders. But it can still be really interesting for the rest of you. So the equipping is actually going to be on the 4 questions time in class. So if you guys remember, the curriculum we use in kids ministry is called the Gospel Project for Kids. But the structure of kids ministry, how we structure all of it, is using the Discovery Bible Study method. So what that means is, in the Discovery Bible Study, say that like I went to somebody's home and I did the Discovery Bible Study, there'll be a person who tells a story, and then everybody else will repeat back that story to the best of their recollection, and then together you read it from the Bible. And then after that, you go through 4 questions. And it's the same 4 questions we do in kids ministry. Number 1, what did you like about today's story? Number 2, was there anything you found confusing? Number 3, what did you learn about people? And number 4, what did you learn about God? So those questions are how you do Discovery Bible Study in the world, wherever people are doing Discovery Bible Study. It's actually very common to use it out in the mission field, which is pretty cool. So for kids ministry, how that looks is the kids go to large group and they have their story time and their worship. Their story time has 3 parts. Number 1, we watch the story together. So it's being told to us. Number 2, we retell the story together. It could be reteaching the lesson or it could be reteaching the actual story. The Bible is made up of both lessons and stories, and so, you know, however you need to present it. And then number 3, we read it together from the Bible. And then when they go back to class, they go through their 4 questions, right? So the 4 questions are more, or if you're in the, like a... if you are in the 4- and 5-year-old class, there's actually 3 questions, so it's a little different. But the whole point is to go deeper. It's not meant to review the time. It's actually a time that you don't have a lot of control over what's said or how kids respond. Because it's not meant for you to have this like perfect little structured thing where the kids, there's a yes and no answer, there's only one answer. No, they're open-ended questions on purpose to create discussion. So you have no control over what's said in the class. And that's beautiful, because what's actually happening is that the time where you are depending on the Holy Spirit to lead that time. You're not controlling anything. The Holy Spirit is leading that time. And so a major part of equipping is recognizing that. Like, okay, I don't know what's about to happen. And that's really scary. And that's why there's an equipping. But also, in addition to that, the 4 questions are very, very purposeful. And this is for if you did the Discovery Bible Study with a bunch of grown-ups or if you did it with a bunch of kids. When I was growing up in kids ministry, I was not homeschooled, nor did I go to a private Christian school. So when I went to Sunday school, I had no idea what they were talking about. And they would teach the story and have all these review questions, and I was like, I do not know, and I don't want to be here for discussion. I don't like discussion. I shut down, and I would pull back. Meanwhile, there were all the homeschool kids, and they would all be like, ugh, we know the answer to this already, and I'm like, but I don't know anything, and it was really hard. And what's great about these questions is it actually levels the playing field. Whether you have a kid who goes to a private Christian school, or they're homeschooled, or you have a kid who has never heard the name of Jesus and actually growing up in a Muslim home, that could happen. Anybody can answer these questions. First question, so disarming. So what did you like about the story today? Anybody can answer that. And sometimes we have kids who are like, I don't remember the story, but I really liked this part of our lesson time because it was funny. I liked the glitter or whatever. And you're like, great, that was awesome. The second question, was there anything you found confusing? That's a great question. What better place to talk about confusing things in the Bible than at church? Yeah. So you don't have to be scared of that question. That's a good question to ask at church. And you may not know the answer, and that's also okay. Like, it's okay. The third one is, what do we learn about people? Now, this one I find is actually the hardest question. Because you're like, well, what do you mean, what did I learn about people? But there were characters in that story today, right? Who wrote that story? What do we learn about them? Okay, now do we ever experience those things also? We learned something about people. And then the third is, what do we learn about God? Fourth is, what we learn about God. Most important question. What did we learn about God? Because the story isn't about us, and the story isn't about those characters. The story is about Jesus. And so what did we learn about God? We connect it always right back to him. And so it levels the playing field. Anybody can answer those questions, and so it's a great place to open that up. So, first of all, I want to encourage you. You guys have been doing a very good job. It's kind of the scariest part of serving in those classes when you go into that discussion time. And you never know the dynamic of the kids, what do they eat for breakfast, like, you just don't know. And you guys have been faithfully doing it, and you guys do it well. And I know that sometimes it can be really intimidating, but when I have gone in and seen discussion times, there have been some really sweet moments. Now, the equipping part. There are some challenges at discussion time. Because, like I said before, we want the conversation to go a certain way, first of all. We want them to go deep. Like, that's our hope, is that we'll have a good discussion time. Other challenges is, sometimes we have days where the kids are super focused, and then some days we don't. And they're distracting each other, and they're touching each other, and they're like laughing and giggling and being silly. But again, four questions is not going to look like an adult conversation when we're doing it with kids. And we can remember that when we go into our four question time. It's like, oh wait, I'm talking to a 5-year-old. And sometimes God really, like, the Holy Spirit will really give that 5-year-old a really sweet curiosity and ask a question that you're like, whoa, like, that is deep. Or like, I don't even, there's so many times I don't know the answer to their questions. And so just, there are challenges involved in that, especially when they're getting silly and wiggly. So I mentioned before, it's the Holy Spirit who's leading this time. And so you really need to be dependent on him. So my first little piece of equipping is to pray before you serve. And I'm not like just the day of, like, look at your lesson on a Monday because it's posted, and then pray through it. Maybe even go through the scripture. You yourself answer the four questions. What did you like about this story? What did you find confusing about this story? What did you learn about people? What did you learn about God? Like, prepare. And this isn't just for the leaders. This is for the assistants. When I'm leading a class, my favorite classes to lead are the ones where the assistants are also answering the questions and a part of that conversation. It's so much more fun when we're all doing it together. And remember, like, it's the Holy Spirit. So he's the one who's going to be like, give that kid that curiosity. And he's the one who's going to spark the conversation. And he's the one who's going to capture their hearts. He's the one who's going to capture their attention. And yeah, you can have some good, like, classroom management techniques and stuff, and you can use that, but ultimately it's the Holy Spirit who moves in kids' hearts, right? So partnering, first and foremost, partner with the Holy Spirit. But then there are also some practical things that you could and should do before coming. And again, this is for both leaders and assistants. Once again, like, read through your lessons in advance. Do the four questions for yourselves in advance, so you kind of come prepared with those. The next thing, and this one's kind of interesting, but I find it really helpful, is showing up on time, which is 15 minutes before service starts. If you show up when service starts, you're actually late. I don't know if you're aware, but you were supposed to be just about 15 minutes before service. And that gives you time to connect with your co-leader. Like, sure, you may not have any kids yet, and so you feel like you don't need to be there, but you actually, like, really, it's good. Like, do you know your co-leader today? Are you serving with a sub? Introduce yourself. Like, how long have you been serving? Did you look at the lesson? Let's look at it together. Oh, look at this class is this way during snack time. Could you please Maybe we could do this to help the kids, or, oh, can you prep craft while I'm doing this? I usually have a hard time doing that. You can work together and plan it out as a team. So when you get to four questions, you guys are like already in sync together. You guys are in sync. The Holy Spirit is there present because you've been praying. And then the Lord is going to move in the way that he wants to move. So the next is, I definitely give structure. The four questions are the same four questions every week. But I want to encourage you guys to bring your personalities and your own flair. So you can get creative in how you do the four questions. So I've seen different teachers do it different ways, and it's so fun to get ideas. I've had teachers have the kids walk in and stand around the carpet square and review their lesson that way and do the four questions standing. I have seen teachers where they have four kids sit down on the chairs, and each one of those kids asks a question, and they're the ones leading the discussion time with the leaders present, of course, and going through all of that. I've had just really lots of creativity, so just feel free to bring your flair to that. It doesn't have to be this very boring structured time. Really practical. The 7-second rule. This is one thing that I see happening, well, never happening, is a lot of times we'll ask a question, and then we'll immediately want a response, but it takes 7 seconds for an adult to process that question. We do this all the time in women's Bible study. I'll ask a question, and then I'll wait, and I'll count to 7 in my head. And then if nobody says anything after 7 seconds, there's a really good chance they're not going to say anything after 8 or 9 or 10 seconds. So then you can add something. But pause and wait and let them think, because they have to process what you just asked. So the 7-second rule, if you have to do it for adults, how much more so do you have to do it for kids? And then when the kids are actually giving their answers, some little tips and tricks. Silly answers are okay. It's totally fine for them to be silly. There's nothing wrong with kids being silly. That's how God created them. Just bring them back around to where we are in the four questions. So for instance, true story, if a kid goes, I like the part where he pooped his pants, because it actually happens in the Bible, you go, oh, do you? Yeah, I remember how scared, do you remember how scared he was? God was rescuing his people and keeping his promise to bring them back to Jerusalem. That's truly a conversation that happened in the book of Daniel, if you guys are wondering. Do you remember that still, huh? No, you don't remember the part where you pooped his pants? Okay. It's because you're a lady. Okay, if you have a group of kids, silly kids sitting together, and one of them gives a really silly answer, again, allow that kid to be silly, but then if they all raise their hand afterwards, they're probably going to say this silly answer. So don't call them. It's as easy as that. Or you could be like, does anybody else like that silly part? And then they can all raise their hand, and then we're moving on from there. So, if you get to the part that's, let me see my notes. If you get to the part where it says, what did you find confusing? These are all literally just check marking things that are little notes that you might find helpful. If you have an answer for a thing that they're curious about, that's great. But if you don't have an answer, don't worry about it. It's okay. One little tip that we like to use in camps during our cabin time at the end of the day is to say, oh, that's a really good question. And then look at the kids and go, do you guys have any thoughts on that? And see if the other kids might have some thoughts on it, because you might be surprised. I learned a lot of cool stuff from other kids' answers. I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. So don't be afraid of that. And then also, if you're an assistant, don't be afraid to chime in. It's okay. Okay. And then the final thing. Sometimes going to four questions can feel like, oh my gosh, we just have to get through this time. Because it's really hard. This is why we're equipping. It's not the world's greatest equipping, but it's helpful information, okay? Okay, this is really important. In the short run, it might be hard,
But in the long run, you guys, we are giving these kids the how to study their Bible for life. Because they're learning a story, and then they're asking the same four questions every single Sunday, and it can feel a little boring or monotonous. But when they become junior highers and high schoolers and adults and parents, they're going to open their Bible and go, okay, so what did I like about today's story? Was there anything I found confusing? Okay, let's dig into that. Okay, what did I learn about people? Okay, now the story's about God. What did I learn about God? Like, we're literally teaching them how to study their Bible. I was not taught that when I was younger. And so it's, like, super exciting that we, even though it feels so monotonous, we're actually giving them a tool that's going to serve them for life. So, anyway. That's it. So, thank you guys for that commitment. Up with one final thing. We are going to break up into groups. Oh wait, Karina has something important to say.
The microphone is going to her head.
It's the not checking my notes part.
Okay.
Okay, December request for send out. And you are supposed to be scheduled on the 29th, and we're not because we're not having kids ministry that day. December 29th will be church unplugged.
Yes.
Yeah. So it'll be really fun. And then just keep in mind, if you would love to serve on December 24th, we will be having Christmas Eve service with a modified kids ministry. And so text me if you would love to do that, and I would love to put your name down. Otherwise, I'll be reaching out soon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
December 24th is New Year. Yeah, you know that. Is it nursery through 5th grade?
I think.
Or is it nursery through 5-year-olds? We don't know. Don't. We don't know. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we are going to break up into groups based off of our age. So if you are a tour leader, would you come up here? You know who you are. There's like a handful. Katie, Donna, Annette, Courtney, Alicia, and Andy. Okay, cool. So these amazing women are volunteers, just like you guys are, and they are going to take their age group, you guys who serve in the same age as them, on a little tour. And you guys are going to go see your rooms, you're going to see where the supply room is, where you're going to get your name tags, how kids are going to check in, all of that. So you guys get to see some of the stuff. There is construction happening, so please watch your step. This will be working, but there's boards and stuff. So, okay, so if you are with nursery and toddlers, stay seated. I'll tell you when to go. You're going to go with Donna, okay? She's raising her hand. Nursery and toddlers with Donna. 2 and 3-year-olds are going to go with Courtney right there. 4 and 5-year-olds are going to go with Danette. Kindergarten and first are going to go with Alicia. And then 2nd and 3rd are going to go with Andy. And 4th and 5th are going to go with Miss Katie Brooke. Right there. Yeah. Okay. And then in addition, we have our check-ins people who are going to, and coordinators, check-ins and coordinators are going to go with Karina. Worship leaders and large group leaders are going to go with me. And AB are going with me. And then we have substitutes. Now, substitutes, go with the age that we normally place you, like the age range, okay? So if you're not sure, go find Karina, and we'll tell you where to go, okay? Or me, I don't know. She's actually better at scheduling than me, so. So, Jerry, go with Andy. That's right. You're not just cleaning anymore. He's in class now. It's awesome. All right. So with that, you guys may stand up. We're going to go to our rooms, go on a little tour, and then we're going to pray over our rooms. And then at the end of all of this, if you have not recommitted, please come to the library.
serving the other.
Are you sick for
me? Are you switched?